we talk about climate change, it's often on a global scale, things like worldwide rises in temperatures and international treaties. But what about the impact on your community's climate? That's a question researchers published last month in the journal Nature Communications. Researchers created an interactive map where you can click on a place in the United States and find out what the weather might be in 60 years by comparing it with the current weather elsewhere in the country. For example, Milwaukee's weather in 2080 might look like parts of West Virginia today. Jack Williams is a paleoclimatologist and professor in UW-Madison's Department of Geography. He's worked on a similar project using climate analogs for the Wisconsin Initiative on Climate Change Impacts. Jack, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, before we get into these models, a lot of times when we hear about global warming or climate change, we hear about global scale things or what's going on in the Arctic, things like that. Does that make it hard for people to think about this as an issue that might be close to home?
I think so. Often people think of climate as something that's happening somewhere else to other people. And so, yes, that is one of the challenges with climate change communications.
And let's look at these modeling systems. There's this new one out in the journals now, similar to something you've done in the past. What are they trying to do? What were you doing with yours and in this new effort now?
So what we did and what this new effort is doing is what's called climate analog mapping, in which we say, okay, here's what the models project will be the climates of the future, say 50 years out or 80 years out. And what are the most similar climates today somewhere else in the U.S.? So, for example, we say, you know, Wisconsin, Madison would be 3 degrees, 5 degrees warmer. What places around elsewhere in the U.S. have those kinds of temperatures? Where are they? Where are they located?
And it's not, as I understand it, just temperatures necessarily. There are other parameters. So what all kinds of things do you dig into?
That's right. So we're looking at temperature and rainfall and precipitation for winter months, summer months, different times of the year. So these are what we call multivariate climate analog analysis. We look at many variables all at once.
And this is based on our current rate of the world's current rate of CO2 emissions, right? This is kind of in a stay the course, this is what we got and we're sticking with it scenario.
That's right. So climate scientists use what are called scenarios, which we work with, you know, higher end scenarios, a stay the course kind of scenario, or these more mitigation scenarios. The new paper that's just out is a high end stay the course. We don't make any mitigation efforts.
And as I understand it, your effort was, 8 years ago or so? Is that right? 7, 8 years
ago? About 8 years ago. That's right.
And there's this new one, and you found pretty good agreement between the two.
Yeah, that's right. One of the nice things is that we were using a previous generation of models from the fourth assessment of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. They're using the latest generation from the fifth assessment. And our maps and their maps in terms of where these climate analogs are coming from are pretty similar to each other.
So give us more senses of where someone in Wisconsin and various communities might look around the country to say, okay, your weather today might be our weather tomorrow or in 50 years.
Well, I definitely encourage people to go to the website itself because they have a really nice interactive mapping tool that they created.
You can click on your hometown more or less.
That's what's really fun. You can click on your hometown with the maps we made, which are up on the wiki page. You can click on any location in Wisconsin and you can click and then see where your analog is coming from. But for a place like Madison, then places like East Kansas or sometimes Eastern Oklahoma come up as the best analogs. Again, consistent with warmer climates and often somewhat around here, some models say wetter, some models say drier. So there's a bit more variability there.
I know one concern with climate change isn't just the average temperature or the average rainfall. It's the likelihood of extreme events. These models that we can go to and that'll visualize this, they don't get into that. Is that right?
Well, that's right. And you can really see that around here in the sense of we're having big flooding in the Midwest. We had big flooding in Madison at the start of the school year. So it's these extreme events that really cause the most damage and they're in some ways the most important aspects of climate change. The models do simulate those, but in terms of these aggregated climate analog analyses, those are just focusing on mean climates, mean monthly temperatures, mean seasonal conditions.
But that is one of the things we worry about, right, is that if we raise the chance of a drought a little bit, that over time, the chance of drought will go up. The chance of getting 2 years of drought in a row goes up. Same with flooding, whatever extreme weather event we're worried about.
That's right. And the models are very consistent projecting that this part of the upper Midwest and much of the U.S. in general is like they have more extreme rain events, more big rain events, and a lot of rain in a short amount of time, and then also longer periods of dry or drought between those rain events as well.
Talking to Jack Williams with the Department of Geography at UW-Madison, looking at models of climate change, not global, but ones where you could go online. We'll post these online, by the way. Click on your community and see what the weather of the future might look like. Where else in the country's weather today might look like your weather tomorrow, your climate tomorrow. What are you hoping that people do with models like these? How could they use them?
Well, one of the real goals of these kinds of models and these maps is to make climate change accessible for people, right? You hear, well, 3 degrees warming in the future, 5 degrees warming. How big a deal is that? These, I think, analyses really help communicate to people that these kinds of climate changes are really important. If you imagine driving from Madison down to eastern Kansas and thinking about the different kinds of landscapes, the different kinds of plants, the different kinds of animals, the different kinds of crops grown in those areas, they're really different. So a few degrees of global temperature change or regional temperature change can have major impacts upon an area.
Now, I've already heard, I think, from the gardening community that the time to plant is slowly changing. We're looking like that band, a couple steps to the south used to look. Is that the sort of thing we might do and say, whether we're home gardeners or farmers, this might give me information about when I plant what and where?
That's right. The USDA has its plant hardiness zones, and they have to update those now every couple decades because those plant hardiness zones are shifting northwards as winter temperatures rise. And right, if you are a gardener or if you're a farmer, you could use these climate analog maps as a pretty good first pass representation of what your climates might look like in the not too distant future and how to best prepare and plan.
Now, I've talked to entomologists who are worried that some kind of ticks, for example, might be making their way northward, better able to survive in our Wisconsin environment. Is that another community that might be able to use this kind of data to say, okay, if we look like eastern Kansas in 50 years, what unpleasant things could survive here that can't right now?
That's right. You worry about agricultural pests. You worry about various ticks and other insects that carry disease. You think about urban pests like termites. Many of these different insect species are temperature limited in their northern range. We're fortunate in southern Wisconsin not to have many of them. We could expect more of them to be moving into the state as temperatures rise.
Are there efforts to do this with other scenarios, maybe more optimistic scenarios, something happens to change things for the better, or more pessimistic scenarios? Because sometimes we see the models underestimate the speed of climate change.
That's right. There's a lot of interest these days in what's called the 1.5 scenario, which is how can we keep the global warming to a degree and a half Celsius? Right now, we've had about 1 degree Celsius warming so far. And there's already lots of things we're seeing, more intensified storms. We're seeing coral die-offs. We're seeing flood events in the upper Midwest. So there's a lot of interest now in how do we stabilize the climate system and keep total warming globally below 1.5, and more scenarios being developed around that.
Are you hoping that policymakers will take a look at these new maps, the maps you did a few years back, and use that in their decision-making?
I certainly hope so. You know, these maps are really intended to be used by anyone who wants to use them, whether they're legislatures or citizens or farmers or other scientists. Again, the point of these sort of climate analog maps is to make them very readily accessible. So you could look in your home district, for example, if you're a legislator, and see the kinds of climates that you and your constituents might expect to experience.
In addition to these kinds of maps, these great visualizations, what other efforts are out there to try to figure out the impact of climate change in our backyards, again, as opposed to globally?
Oh, there's all kinds of efforts. You know, working at UW-Madison, of course, one of the great research universities of the world, there's all kinds of things happening there. People are working on ways of reducing our greenhouse gas emissions or sequestering carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. Lots of us are working on different kinds of ecological impacts and how to help plant species and bird species adapt. There's efforts with UW Extension to communicate those efforts. There are carbon dioxide monitoring towers in the North Woods and on Lake Mendota. There's just all kinds of things happening all over the place.
We'll leave it there for now. Jack, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you. It's been a great conversation.
That was Jack Williams, paleoclimatologist and professor in UW-Madison's Department of Geography. He was with us to talk about a research tool that's helping people understand how climate change will impact their communities. You can read more and check out the interactive maps at wiscontext.org.